When you come to the land that God will give you as an inheritance, you will inherit it and you will live in there. So the parsha starts off with the concept of Vikurin, the Lakastam Reshisko Priyadama from the beginning of the first fruits of the land, Ashtami Me'atzicha. Okay, etc. The concept is, give a little bit, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay you back in full. But all you have to do is give someone from your... I'm sorry?
Leave the bias.
Leave Leviathan.
He's like the richest Israeli ever.
And
he says his name is Giving Meister.
Oh, because you lost me on that one completely. Okay, Meister is not this, though. This is the concept is not after you get it that you actually give it. This is before you keep anything at all. You give your first fruits over to the coin in the base of Mikdash. It says to bring it. You'll go to the coin that is there during those days. And the question that everybody asks is, Asher yiyah b'yamim ahem, you give it to the coin that's there in those days. I mean, were you thinking about giving it to a coin that wasn't there? Who else are you going to give it to? The words of Asher yiyah b'yamim ahem are mentioned by almost every Rishon out there, and everybody asks, what does it mean? What other coin could you possibly give it to that we have to say the words Asher yiyah b'yamim ahem over here for? So Gemara asks it. The Gemara says each door has their own tzaddik. Every generation has their own person, in which we call the coin Asher yiyah b'yamim ahem. And never say, well, my generation's tzaddik is not like last generation's tzaddik. There's no Reb Moshe Feinstein anymore, or there's no Chazanish anymore, or there's no, even though that may be true, never say that, because each tzaddik is there according to the generation. No matter whatever greatness the generation has, that's how great the Gadol is. Rav Moshe Feinstein fit his generation. Rav Aaron Cutler fit his generation. Keep going back, all the way back. Each one fit their generation and who they were. The door 150 to 200 years ago deserved Rabbi Kivager and deserved Chassam Sofer. We don't deserve such a person. They deserve the Grub before that. They deserve the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Tanya. It's just a different world altogether, in which we shouldn't feel bad about that. It's just the fact. Every tzaddik has to have a connection to his door. There's got to be some sort of a connection between him and the rest of his generation where you feel like there's something going on between them. If there's no connection between them, then you got a problem, because what's the pshat in the tzaddik being there? The tzaddik takes what the door does and is mileyed up to Shemayim. You know, sometimes it's not a Christian concept, first of all. It comes from us. Just, they take this idea and they abuse it within their system. But the idea is like this. We daven. We learn. The tzaddik of the generation is able to, if you have a connection with them, see those tefillos in the Torah that you have. See where they are in Shemayim and how they're not being allowed in. What's happening to it? The mekatzer and the accusers and all the bad things that might be happening to it. And is able to say to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, please let that tefillah be accepted. You can never daven to the tzaddik. You can never say to the tzaddik, you do everything for me. You have to do it. But the tzaddik helps you along. He prods you along a little bit. He's sort of like that kindergarten teacher that puts everything down in front of you. The moreh that puts everything down in front of you and says, just read this. Just do this, and tells you what to do in order to get you out of learn. So sometimes you need that to be able to happen. If we do things for schar, we do things shalol shem shemayim, we do things because we want to be called gedolim, we do things because we want people to look at us and say, wow, that person's great, or we do it out of kavod. So Kadosh Baruch Hu sends over a tzaddik, and you connect yourself to that tzaddik, so he does it for the right reasons, and shows that Kadosh Baruch Hu is melamed schus for every person, and says, you know what, he wasn't doing it for kavod, he was really doing it for this, he wasn't doing it for that, he's dam lachas schus on the entire generation to be able to show what Kadosh Baruch Hu, how great it is. That's the tenet. The Samta of Atene says the Tver Shlomo the Radomsker. Tene stands for Tes Nun Aleph, stands for Ta'amim, Nikudos, and Osios of the entire Torah. The Ta'amim referring to the trup and how it goes through, you know, the Pashto, Zarka, Munach, etc. The Nikudos are obviously underneath the Komats, the Patach, the Shva, and everything. And the Osios themselves, every bit of every letter that you learn, every letter that you say in your Tefillah, if done correctly, the Samta Batan, if you bring it in a basket, you bring it over the Kohen, Asher Yiyah B'yamim Ahem, says the Tver Shlomo, it automatically gets brought up to Shemayim, the Tzaddik is able to be mileage to levels that we could never imagine. So here it goes. If you give a gift to a Talmud Chacham nowadays, it's as if you brought Bikurim.
What if you don't have a connection to the Tzaddik, though?
This is it. If you give a gift to the Talmud Chacham nowadays, you will get that gift of Bikurim. It's as if you brought Bikurim. What's the pshat? Because giving the gift is connecting yourself with that Tzaddik. Now, we have to choose who the Tzaddik is. We have to figure out who that Tzaddik is. Not just a guy who everybody might consider as a Gadol, but he's not really a Gadol. It has to be a Gadol that you can tell is a Gadol. But if you give a gift to that person, you give a gift to a yeshiva that has that person, you do anything like that, you allow the Tzaddik to be able to do what he needs to do, then that Tzaddik can bring it up. He'll be able to place down in front of the Mizbeach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be totally different. It's going to be a different world. It's going to be a different level. That Tzaddik, as long as you're medavik yourself to him, even by just giving him a gift, that makes something happen. Okay, you know, we all have our off days. Everybody has that off day. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you're just like, I don't know if I can daven today. I just don't know if I can learn today. You know, you have that Yetzer Hara who's just screaming at you, and you end up doing the wrong thing. You either say something wrong, you steal something that you know you shouldn't have. I know it's not really stealing, not taking any wallet out of other people's pockets, but you just happen to pocket a little bit of extra cash when you know you probably should have given it to somebody else, or something else happens where you just have something that goes wrong. That's the Anisa. That's the Anisa of Yamarta. You became poor. You lowered yourself down. Times of Anius, when you become a poor person. At that time, you know what you have to do? You know how you get yourself out of that? V'yamarta. You say it. Now, there's two things to learn over here. Either number one, you just stop. You learn and you keep going. You bring yourself to just get yourself used to things. And you just say, I messed up once. That doesn't mean I always have to mess up. And you bring yourself right back. Or, V'yamarta, talk to the Talmud Chacham. Talk to that Tzaddik. Speak to him. Say to him, say what's going on. Say what's wrong. He's not going to be able to heal it. It's not going to be the Christian concept of, six Hail Marys and you're all good. No, you're going to have to do tshuva. You're going to have to get a kapara. Of course you have to do something. But say it out. You'll feel better. And the tzaddik will now be able to help you learn what you need to do in order to do tshuva, in order to get a kapara, in order to do something different. Friends, do what you can for now, and then get everything else later. That's the bikurim. Bring a little bit right now. As soon as you get your first fruits, I don't have any real fruits. I can't really bring anything. Bring what you have now. You only have a tiny little bit of an apple that just grew. Take that apple, bring it to your shrine, bring it to the Kohen, and say to the Kohen, here it is. The concept is, do what you can at all times, even if there's nothing going on. Asher yiyeh b'yimimahem, yiyeh, is the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the future. Lost level when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bayomahu Yiyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, the shame of Havaya of Yud Hei Vav Hei will no longer be with a Vav. It'll be Yud Hei Yud Hei. Ka Ka. That's Kiyad Al Kes Ka. The idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being thrown down from Amalek, that his hand is on the throne of Yud Kei, is on the throne of Yud Kei, because the Yud Kei can't double itself, can't bring itself out into this world. We're no longer able, we can't have the Yiyeh. That's the idea of Bayomahu Yiyeh Hashem Echad. Yeh and Hashem are all going to be one. It's all going to be the same thing, and you're going to understand it. It's going to be different. Any Kohen that can make that happen in our world, that can bring the Haya Ki Sabo Al Aretz, the Vahaya is also the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Vav Hei Yud Hei, the Vav Hei Yud Hei, and make it into Yiyeh Bayamim Ahem, and if you do it Bayamim Ahem Bazman Hazeh, can bring those times, Bayamim Ahem, into these times, that's the tzaddik you're supposed to go to. That's a tzaddik who can turn the world around, and that's a tzaddik who can do everything in Shemayim. That's the person you have to be dabuk to. That's a true, true person. And that's why it ends off with Amalek in last week's Parsha, and in this week's Parsha we immediately go into the Bikurim, because we're trying to say, you know what the Bikurim are? Find the people who are the exact opposite of Amalek, the people that will bring Yiyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. That's the idea behind it over here, and that's the whole beginning of the parsha. Okay, you know the tzaddik out there? You want to become that tzaddik? You want to grow up to be that type of a person, to be around that type of person?
Well, before that, how do you find that tzaddik?
That's a hard thing altogether. You will see it, and if you can't see it, then you haven't found it.
Is there more than one of them?
Without a question. There's at least 30, maybe 36, perhaps 72, depending on your opinion of the Gemara of how many Lamed Vavniks there are out there. It does not mean they're hidden, by the way. It does not mean the Gemara there are Lamed Vav hidden Tzadikim. It's Lamed Vav Tzadikim, according to the Gemara Sanhedrin. They say there might be Lamed Vav in Eretz Yisrael, Lamed Vav in Chutz La'aretz. Some say it's only Lamed, that's a Gemara somewhere else. But in Sanhedrin it says Lamed Vav, and it might be 72 altogether. But you will find them. There are people that you can just look at, and you see that person's a Tzadik. You don't find them all the time, but you can look, and you can find, you'll see a person. You just say, that person's a Tzadik. That person looks and acts and does everything like a Tzadik. That person is that type of a person. So here's the word. How do you find, how does that person get there? How did he become there? So we're going to give one word, but then you're going to, we're going to have to go into the Agada. We say it every year, every single year. The first thing is like this. Rabbi Cohn pointed out last year, Zev Cohn pointed out that the coin of Yis, something strange happens here. If you're going to say to the coin, I spoke today to Hashem, your God. I have come to the ground that God has sworn to give to our fathers, to give to us. This guy, he obviously is Jewish. It's Lavo Seinu. And it's Lasses Lanu. It's clear that this person is Jewish. It's even a question of a ger can read the Parsha of Bikurim. Because how can he say Lavo Seinu? It's not hey, his father. It's a machlokus in the Gemara whether he can say the words Lavo Seinu Lasses Lanu. Happens to be that we paskin that you can. The same way we say in Shemona Esrei Elokei Avoseinu, same way we say in Benching, same way in theory they say Shalos Ani Goy in the morning. Shalos Ani Goy in the morning, even though they were born a Goy, but it's different. A Ger changes things around, and it's Kafin Shinolatami. It's like a brand new, and their parents are Avram and Sarah. Our Avram and Sarah made a Machlokis, but the other Machlokis, there's another Tzadik. You don't read the Parsha because it says Avoseinu. But Elokecha, your God, what's he saying that for? Why is he saying that? Shouldn't it be Elokeinu at the very least? So I can say before that, Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokecha L'Shekein Shem Hashem, that your God Hashem put his name there. That's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Klal Yisrael. Clearly, he could have included himself, but he's telling it over to Klal Yisrael. That I definitely can understand. But for the guy to say it out loud, this is the parsha you got to read. You go do Bikurim. You have to say the words, Yigadet Yayom LaHashem Elokecha. You have to say those words. Why not Hashem Elokeinu? What happened over there? So the Kohen answered like this. He says, the Kohen needs to have hachana. How many days a year does the Kohen work? So maybe two, possibly three. Possibly three. Because he's in a mishmar. There are 24 mishmaros. The 24 mishmaros each work a week. Each mishmar is divided up into six or seven batayav. A bit of a machlokas on that. They might all work on Shabbos. But six or seven batayav. They each work a day. So basically he's working that one day. Maybe he's working that Shabbos as well, but he's definitely not getting the big jobs on Shabbos. He works on Yom Tov. He goes in, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos. He has Shlosh Regalim. If he comes in, then he's allowed to work on those days. But other than that, if he doesn't walk in, he's there for 2 days a year, really. 2 days a year. One day, and then 24 weeks pass, another 24 weeks pass is 48. A couple quantum will work 3 days a year, because there are 52 weeks in the year. You know, 50 in the Jewish calendar, but you obviously have, you have leap years. So an average of 52 weeks a year. So you're going to have the guy working maybe 3 days a year. Sit where I come. For 3 days a year, what's he doing the rest of the year? And remember, we're giving him miser. We're giving him truma. We're giving these guys from why? Because they can't work all year long. What do you mean they can't work all year long? They're taking 3 days off. Why are you doing taking 3 days off? What's the shot?
Don't Kohanim need to be independently wealthy in order to serve?
Kohen Gadol, yes. Other Kohanim, no. Okay. In theory, other Kohanim can be. Kohen Gadol with adequate Kohen Gadol Me'achav.
Could be, but the question is,
should he? Should he? But he gets Truma. He's taking money from the other people. He gets all the gift, the 24 Matnos Kahuna that are given over to him. That's what he's getting. But there's nothing more. So what happens? He has to prepare. He's learning all year long to prepare himself. People ask, where's the first concept of Kolel? This is Kolel. He's learning all year long to prepare for 3 days in the Beis Hamikdash. Such a person who has to prepare for so long, for a total of 2 or 3 days of service in the Beis Hamikdash, that guy, that person you can see. You go to the Beis Hamikdash, you look at that Kohen, and you're speaking to the Kohen as you're giving the Bikurim, you don't picture the same God as he has. You see him as a pure servant of God. It's not my God. It's your God. You look at him and you're shocked. You're in absolute shock. You say that. You realize it's Avoseinu. I know we're from the same family. I realize that. But this is your God. It's not ours anymore. And he can't picture it that way because he sees the Kohen looks different. He sees the Kohen prepared himself to go inside there. He didn't just walk into the Beis Hamikdash with his shirt on top, the tie, like, you know, hanging down, running in like we do for Shabbos. You know what I'm saying? like, he didn't just like jump inside there, run inside from Mincha and just barely make Kiddusha. He's like, oh, I made Kiddusha this week. That's not how he did it. He prepared. At Chatzos Hayom on Friday, he sat down and he started doing Shnayim Mikravecha Targum. And it wasn't because his wife was doing all the work in the kitchen. He was like, woman, don't bother me. That's not happening. Oh, that, of course, we all like that to happen, but that's not happening. He said he prepared everything. Everything was all ready. This dinner, the table is set. The candles are already lit and burnt, waiting for his wife to do it. All the food has been cooked already. All of it has been cooked. And he's just sitting there saying, Shnayim Mikravecha Targum. He's sitting there for the next 6 hours. The people who close their businesses on Friday afternoon. That's what we're talking about. It's the do the ahana. Slowly but surely, as he's sitting there staring at the coin, he gets affected by it. So little by little, I don't know where I have this word from. I wrote it down over here in my chumash. If somebody could tell me, it's probably from somebody that's from base, Ludger or Ludzer. I have no idea who this is. If somebody could tell me who this is, I would appreciate it. But I wrote it down in the name of this. It doesn't seem like a Rav. It seems like a guy named Ludzer. But I don't know who this person is. But he told this board over, and I wrote it down over here, and it goes like this. You start off with Elokecha. But as you go on, in Zion, it becomes Elokei Avoseinu. It says, Vayit Nitzak El Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. It becomes, okay, I know it's our father. Now it becomes Elokei, the God of our fathers. So you start bringing yourself in a little bit. Until you mamish see yourself as if you left. You brought us out from Mitzrayim. And you're talking over exactly what happened. But you feel it's a little bit different. You feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you out. Certain people have that feeling. Certain people, after you watch those people for a while, you look at a coin like that, and you see how great he is, you can see, and you start feeling like you feel better. We turn ourselves around. Giving yourself up a little bit, and giving bikurim, and losing what you really want to keep for yourself, does that to you. You take your first dollar that you ever made, that your father put up, and a little plaque up on the wall, and he said, sees first dollar, and signs it, you know, puts it up there, you know, he gives you a dollar instead, because otherwise you lost your first buck, yeah, that's not a good way of starting off. He gives you a dollar, pays the dollar, puts it up on the wall. You should smash that glass, take that dollar down, and give it to tzedakah. Your first dollar. Give it over to tzedakah. You give up a little bit of yourself. You give up a little bit of your selfishness. That's bikurim. The very first fruit. The very first thing you bring. There is nothing more addicting than agriculture. Nothing. Animals, they grow slowly. You don't really see it. Plants, they grow like wildflowers. They grow like anything. And they grow up just like that. And if you really know how to plant things, I know how to kill plants. But if somebody really knows how to make plants work, you look at them and you say, I did that. I did that. And God says, no, you didn't. I did. Give it to me. So that you know that I'm the one in charge of this world. It's not you. It's me. When a person realizes that and starts giving himself up, and he looks at the coin, who's given up his life. You don't think this coin could be a great agriculture guy, couldn't be a great farmer. You don't think he could be a great economist. You don't think he could be a great, unbelievable lawyer or an unbelievable doctor. But no, he spent his time preparing himself to go to the Beis Hamikdash 3 days out of a year. 3 days out of a year. That's the bikurim. But it can go the other way around. People can look at it the exact opposite way. Let's look at Paro. Paro saw Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron. And refused to listen to them. Moshe and Aaron went to Paro. He saw them. He saw the greatness of Moshe and Aaron. The Midrashim say about what happened when Moshe and Aaron first walked in. Moshe was huge. 10 ounces tall, 15 feet tall. Walks inside. Paro's a foot and a half. And he's standing there, and he looks up at Moshe Rabbeinu, and all the other kings that were in the room at the time took their crowns and threw it up on Moshe Rabbeinu's head. And Paro looks at him, and he says, who are you? Well, first he went to the bathroom. That's another story. He got bitten by 12 rats. That's part of the measure. But then afterward, he came out, and he looked at him and said, who are you? I don't believe in your God. How could a person do that? How in the world could there be a person who refused to listen to two of the greatest people who have ever lived? To Moshe Rabbeinu, who looked huge, who looked great. You could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in him. You could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Moshe now. How could he not? There's a point where you become a stone. You're just a stone. You just don't move. You don't get affected by anything. You don't get affected by anything. The only thing that happens is makos. And you get the makos, then all of a sudden you realize the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you have a problem looking at a Kohen or finding a tzaddik throughout the entire world, you can't find one tzaddik who's a great person, one person who's out there and you could look at and be like, wow, I want to give my gifts to that guy. You can't find one person like that. It's your problem, not his. No, I know that. The parsha that you read over here, Bavikurim, is the exact parsha that we read on Pesach night. In the Haggadah. The whole thing is darshened out in the Haggadah. By Yerid Mitzrayim, by Yogar Shambim Seimaot, by Yisham Lagoy Gadol Atzumbarov, by Reu Osanu Amitzim, by Yanunu, by Tinu Alenu Avodah Kasha, by Nitzak El Hashem Elokei Avodinu, we cried out, by Yishma Hashem Eskolinu, by Yarasinu Vezem Alenu Vezvachatzenu, by Yotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, and he took us out. Every single bit of this pasuk is darshened on Pesach night. Every single little bit of it. And what do we say? Biyor chazaka. Zu. Anybody know? Biyor chazaka. Zuha. Dever. What in the world? And then it says, Bizroa netuya. Zuha. Cheref. The sword. Anybody know of a sword in Mitzrayim? No sword. And then it says, Moragadol, we'll skip for now. Ba'osos, Zamate. And the Mofsim, Zeddam. And then, Tavaracher. Another way of looking at it. Yelchazoka Shtayim, Zorna Tuya Shtayim, Moragadol Shtayim, Ba'osos Shtayim, Mofsim Shtayim. And that's the 10 Makos. Then Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, Tetzach Adash Be'achav. As if we didn't know the first letters of each one of the Makos. And then the Chachamim come along and say, Dam, Svardea, Kinim, Arov, Dever, Shchim, Barad. I should say the Chachamim before Rabbi Yehuda. But regardless, what in the world is going on in that Agada? What are we doing? What in the world is going on here? You get Rishwag. You gotta get Rishwag. What's the difference? What's Dever and what's the Cherev? The Cherev refers to Makas Bechoros, the sword of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that came and destroyed the Mitzrayim. Dever was which number of Makas? Number 5. Makas Bechoros was number 10. For those who didn't know that, you got a lot to learn. Number 5 and number 10. Number 5 and number 10. What do we know about number 5 and number 10? What do we? The Makos are divided up into the first 5 and the second 5. What do we know about the first 5 and the second 5 in the Makos?
You can explain by
natural causes. Not 3, 3, and 3 is possible. 3, 3, and 4 is a way of doing that. But there's something much more. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do after Dever? Took away the Chira of Parah. Up until the point of Dever, the first 5 Makos, Parah was still making decisions. Still making rational, conscious decisions where he's saying, here's what I want, here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to send them out, I don't want to send them out. After the 5th Makah, after Dever, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away that Bechira. Took it away and said, you don't have it anymore. You lost your chance for Bechira, according to the Ramban. And now it's a different level, it's a different type of Makah. It's a worse Makah. Where all those Makos, Parah had to run, he couldn't stop himself. And he said, he wanted to send them. He wanted to let them go right before Arba. He said, I can't take this anymore. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, please, everybody go, just not the children, not the older people. And Moshe said, no, everybody's got to go. Then forget it. Then forget it. I'm not going to let them go. He couldn't say yes. He couldn't let them all go. You know what the pshat is? There's a machlokas, four-way machlokas between the Tanoim, how the Makos were supposed to affect Parah. What was the point? And how are you going to bring up Paro? Paro was a stone. He couldn't see anything. He couldn't realize anything that was going on. Even if Moshe and Aaron came up to him and said in his face, God wants us out. And you clearly see that we are representing God. We're clearly emissaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you look at us. Look at our faces. You don't see us. You don't see Kedusha in our faces. Paro refused to look. So how much does it take to get rid of the tumah of Paro? So some of them say, one opinion is, it took 2 major makas. Each maka is an expa lokimhi. Like Kinum was the finger of God. 5 makas is a full hand. You're going to get smacked with the right hand, then you get smacked with the left hand. The midas achesed, where you have to make the choice on your own. Midas adin, where you won't be able to make the choice anymore. It's already decided for you. That was the first opinion, that in order to get through, you need to have both fists in your face. You gotta get punched in the face. One of my favorite phrases ever. Punch in the face in order to realize, this is what you're missing. Don't you realize what you're missing? Second opinion. Dover Acher, Shtayim, 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 Shtayim. It's 5 sets of 2 makos each. You just need one hand. But each hand, each finger, represents 2 makos. And it's 2 makos altogether. And each one, dam was not enough. And look at the connection. Dam and Svardea. What's the connection between Dam and Svardea? Both happen from the water. Kinim and Aroth were both animals that came from the land. Dever and Shchin were diseases that are not exactly out there, but they're in the atmosphere around here. Barad and Arba both came from the high up skies, from the skies up above. Choshech HaMakas Bechoros shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules over everything. Each one represented something, and each one of them showed Paro. You think you're great? Don't you see what I rule? I rule over everything. Water, land, air, everything you can think of. It's all me. Everything is me. I rule over disease. I rule over everything, and even people. And even people. I can do anything I want. Then comes the Chachamim. No. Each Maka was on its own separate thing. Paro needed each one on its own, and each one, Dam, Svardea, Kinim, etc., each one needed to be shown to Paro, and Paro had to see each one, and each one represented something in the world. Well, Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, no, it was 3 different types, Tzitzach, Adash, Be'achav. You know what the Nafkamin is? Palm Moshe Rabbeinu showed it over to Paro. The Osos was the matzah, right? The Osos refers to the matzah. What was the matzah there for? You know what Moshe Rabbeinu did with this matzah? He had the shemos of every single matzah on this matzah. And he went up to Paro and said, do you want to see what you're going to get? Here's what you're going to get. So what did he show him? According to Chachamim, Dam Sardeya Kinim Arov Dever Shchim Barad Arba Choshech Matzahs Bekoros. He told them all these 10. According to Rav Yehuda, 3 sets. So you're going to have 3 sets, and each one will represent something inside the world. And that's what you were saying before, natural and unnatural and things like that. Then after that, the other opinion is, no, there were going to be 5 sets of 2. It's going to be Dats, and then it's going to be Ka, and then it's going to be, and keep going, Dash, and each one. And that was what was written on the mat itself. And the first opinion, what we go through when we're going through the Psukim, is all it's saying, all it said was Dever and Makas Bechoros. What's the comparison between Dever and Makas Bechoros? Death of animals, death of people. Death of animals and death of people. The only 2 Makas that were all about death. Purely about death. To show Paro how far he'd gone, that he was like he was dead. Like you're a stone. Like you can't pay attention to anything. If you're a stone, if your heart's made of stone, if you don't look at things in this world, you just think like, ah, everything's fine. Or you see a gadol and you don't see the greatness of that gadol, you're a stone. You're dead. You're nothing. You're garbage in this world. You're garbage. You're nothing. You gotta see something. It's you that's missing it. It's not them. You gotta find the right person. But it's you and not them. Now that's gonna explain something great. Chof Zayin Ches is one of the strangest mitzvos in the Torah. Chof Zayin Ches says, "V'chosata al avanim is called Dibra Torah Zos ba'er hefeiv." You have a chiyuv to write the words of the Torah in 70 different languages for every single one of the nations on a stone, on a great big stone. All 70 languages. What in the world is the point of writing the Torah? What do we normally write a Torah on? Normally write a Torah on parchment, which is made from skin from an animal. But now we're writing it on a stone. Right? What's pshat? Parchment is chai. Remember last week? We got medaber, which is people. Then comes chai, which are animals. Then comes someach, which are plants. And the final one is domen, which are sounds. Says the Shem Yishmol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, chai. Normally, you got to write the Sefer Torah on chai. This time, you're writing it on domen.
Why is it chai?
Oh, I haven't explained it yet.
Okay.
All we have is, normally you write it on chai. Now, we're writing it on domen. What's the pshat? So what's the mitzvah of writing the Sefer Torah? The point of writing the Sefer Torah is to engrave it on your heart. To make you feel like it's going inside you. To make you feel like you got the Torah for yourself. Every person is a chiv to write Torah. Every person is a chiv. And just notes is a kiyum of writing the Sefer Torah according to some opinions of the Rishonim. Just writing notes, writing a little bit of a note. You have been Mekayim. You have written down the Sefer Torah. You've written down your own Sefer Torah. You fill up a notebook that is your Sefer Torah. It's no different from a Sefer Torah that you donate to a shul. It just costs a little bit less. And it's not made as on good parchment, except 5-star notebooks are unbelievable. But aside from that, it's not as great. The aura you write on, the skin you write on, has to be treated really well. You gotta take those do it all the way through. You gotta take gallstones and like knock it all the way. I don't know how to make leather. You have a whole big thing of what you gotta do in order to make it into regular parts. You can't just take a skin, tear it off, and just start writing on it. You gotta do something. You gotta work it. Because in order to learn Torah, you gotta prepare. You gotta make a hachana. You gotta do something to it. You gotta prepare yourself. You can't just walk into Torah and say, oh, I got it now. You have to prepare. You have to put yourself into it a little bit. And then afterward, you can get it back. You get rid of your inhibitions. Now, there are 2 parts to the lathe. 2 parts to the heart. The lathe on the outside has taivas. It desires. It wants things. And it looks at things and it says, I want that. I want this. Your heart desires. Your brain tells you why you want to desire it. But your heart is that's where the taiva sits. Your taiva is sitting right there on top of your heart. But you have an inner part to your life. The inner part to your life is your nefesh. There's the nefesh bahamis, the animalistic nefesh, which has taivas and desires and wants things in this world, and then the real nefesh. The nefesh alokis, the soul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the little bit of spark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside you. Most people ignore the nefesh alokis, the soul inside you, and just listen to the taivas. You feel the nefesh bahamis, you're in this world, and you feel gashmis. You feel the things that are inside you, and you just deal with the things inside this world. 99% of the world deals with that. They don't realize what they have all the way deep inside. But you want to be a really good person? Bring out the nefesh alokis. Bring out that within you. There's a very big difference between those two. The nefesh bahamis is like a piece of parchment. It can be worked on. It can change. You can change your taivas. The same way a person when they're younger has a taiva for one thing, when you get older you lose that taiva. When you're younger you still have the taiva for Reese's peanut butter cups. I don't know if that ever goes away. You still have a taiva for, I was going to say chips or cookies, but I don't know if that ever goes away either. For something. And then when you get older, you lose that taiva. The exact same thing happens with your outer, with the or the behema. It changes. You can change it. But the nefesh elokis never changes. It doesn't do anything. That reminds you of a of a rock. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded Klal Yisrael to write a Sefer Torah, not on the ore of the behema, but rather on the rock, on the domain, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell Bnei Yisrael, you're going into Eretz Yisrael. You know what you got to do? Bring out your nefesh elokis. Make sure your real nefesh is ruling over your nefesh Bahamas. I know you can change. You know how you change? Look deep inside. Look all the way inside. Stare at yourself and say, what am I doing? What do I want? What am I supposed to do here? Look deep inside you and you'll find it. It's there. It's a domain. It never changes. It's a stone inside you. But you can make it work. But some people don't do that. Some people just leave it out. The nations of the world have to see that there's a chance even for them to change. That even if you have a heart like a stone, even on the outside, you think, I can't change. That my taivas will always stay this way. That nothing's going to happen. Like me and my Reese's peanut butter cups. They still have to see there's a way of changing them. There's a way of doing something. There's a way of changing everything around them, but making sure that your inner nefesh will be able to pull out and be able to knock it all down. You ready to bring it all back? There's a mimer in Pirkei Avos, Dama Shetoshev Apikoros. You got to know what to answer in Apikoros, right? You're supposed to go ahead and be able to say that. Sometimes you got to know you can't answer them. My first year on Beis Yisrael, I remember there was a guy from England who came in very, very rich. That's why he came to Beis just for a couple weeks. Came to Beis and he started asking really heavy emuna questions. Questions in emuna. And he's coming up to all the guys, and everybody in my room was trying to answer him up. Trying to say this, trying to say that. And he looked at me and said, what do you say? And I was a first-year guy. I'm like, I don't know, why don't you go ask one of the rabbis? If the guy's bringing up all his issues to a bunch of 17, 18-year-olds in a dorm, but he won't bring it up in front of a rabbi, there's a reason why. He's not looking for an answer. He's just a stone. He doesn't care. If he really cared to know the answer to his questions, he would go to the right people. Wait, he really thinks he's going to get an answer from a bunch of first-year guys in base? Tomo, maybe. Or, you know, Shalvin. That's a different story altogether. Base? He's not going to get that. Not to make fun of base, but we do know who we are. It's not going to happen. You got to go ask somebody. It's very, very clear when there's a guy with a stone for a heart and a guy who has a heart that's willing to listen. A guy who's willing to go around and do things, and somebody who's willing to write on top of the heart and do everything. There's a very big difference between them. He's afraid of getting a real answer. When Paro looked at Moshe and Aaron, he could have seen the Kedusha. He refused to. He didn't want to. He'd rather see that they're just two Jews. Who are these guys? There are ways of looking at a person and seeing the Kedusha. There are ways of looking at people and not seeing the Kedusha. There's ways of doing that. So how do you get him out of that? So you want to get from domain to chai, right? But you're skipping a level. What's the level? Tzomeach. What's the pshat of tzomeach? Something grows in the ground. You plant a seed. And then the seed is watered, the sun goes on it, and eventually it grows. There's no such thing as a plant that just grows immediately. As a plant that just grows up all of a sudden, and it's just there. Just there. An animal, when it comes out, is born huge. A person, when he's born, is born as a baby. It's formed in the stomach. But when it shows, it's something out there. A plant slowly but surely builds its way up. Little by little by little by little. It becomes from something that was nothing, a seed that can't do anything, until something that grows, that lives, that breathes, that has something out there. You want to make the guy into a chai? You want to make the guy into somebody that'll listen? You got to plant the seeds. And tell him little things. Just say, I'm not the person to ask. Ask somebody bigger than me. What are you asking me for? Well, what do you want me to answer you for? There's obviously something that's missing here. Because you shouldn't be asking me. You do the tzomeach. That's the pshat bikurim. And that's why we start off bikurim with this parsha, and that's why we go into a little bit of emunah. You want to build yourself up? You want to make yourself into a better person than what you are today? Little by little. It just takes a little bit of growth. It just takes a little bit of putting the seed in the ground. And then when that first thing comes out, you give it straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you. It wasn't me. It was him. Thank you for doing everything that you needed to do in order to make this thing work. That's the idea. Taking your tithes and being Moser Nefesh a little bit. That leads you to a Kohen. That leads you to a person who knows what he's doing. You'll find that Yihyeh. You'll find that Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that person. Then you'll start seeing things you've never seen before. You'll see things that will just be unbelievable. You'll open up a safer and you'll find exactly what you wanted. You'll find exactly what you wanted whenever you look up. It's like, oh, I can't find this. Oh, here it is. That's what starts happening, because you start seeing things in the right way. You don't start missing things around. You ever been looking for something that was in your pocket the entire time? You ever been looking around? That's the person who's just missing it. It's like you're looking at the gobble. You're staring at someone who is clearly something a little bit different. You're staring at someone that's a little bit different, but you don't notice it. You don't see it. You think he's just another regular guy, just a normal other person. Every person has that ability. Every person has the ability to be that person that's beyond anyone else. It's hard to get there. And it's much harder to see it in him because he himself is trying to hide it. Because he himself is trying to pull it all the way down. But those people are out there. You just got to find them. And you have to start being close to them. Being dovek to them. People in Chicago, you just got to find them. Sometimes we don't understand them. Sometimes you hear something that they say or hear something that they do. And you say, I don't agree with that. The point of having a gavul is to be able to sometimes say, I don't understand. That's the point of having him. That's why he's there and why you're not the gavul yet. Why you're not there yet. Maybe eventually you'll be there. And maybe eventually we'll all be able to make our own decisions. But until that point, you need to have someone there. And we don't understand everything that goes into things. And just to say, okay, I just don't get it. That's the level of a chai. That's the level of somebody who's building himself up. He built himself up past Tomer. He's alive. He's around. He wants to change. That person can then bring himself to a medaber, to a person who can speak and say out words of Kedusha, do things in the right way. It's hard to get there. But that's what Bikurim is all about. That's what it means to give up something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea behind the entire Haggadah. Spend an entire night, sitting there and darshaning what happened in Mitzrayim to say to ourselves, we have it within us. We can be that Gadol. Next, the Anochi, Ani v'lo malach. It's bringing out the Ani, not only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from yourself, and what power you really have. I didn't even get into the Tokacha. That's another story altogether, in the 11 Arrors. There's an unbelievable amount of stuff in this Parsha. That's Kisavo. Then we'll be able to go to Eretz Yisrael. It'll be a lot better, a lot easier. We'll get there eventually. Have a good Shabbos, guys.